We are in Tafel now, Salah Dawud, and in Mirza Shem we're going to finally finish the Salah. And today we're going to actually use the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Mechaber says like this, V'halibun, who actually nitzitzit nitzim menu. The Mechaber says that the shear for doing, to make libun gomor on the kli, to do libun on the kli, is until sparks come flying out of it. The Mechaber is coming from Yerushalmi. For whatever reason, he picks the Yerushalmi of the definition of what libun is until sparks come out of it. The Bavli says, I don't know why. The Mishabur brings the Bavli, I don't know why the Mechaber does. And the Bavli says, until Ashtash Kliposai, until it starts to peel away, layers of it start coming off. And both of these Shiurim, both the Mechaber, for what Yerushalmi says, it's the same idea, which is that when you have a piece of metal, it has, when you have metal, it has impurities to it. It has impurities to it, and as when you heat it up to very high temperatures, you burn away those impurities. So either they come away as sparks flying off, as if something's burning, or literally like a whole layer is coming peeling off. The point is not to take the layer off. The point is that it shows that you're really heating it to some extent, that you're burning away those impurities at a certain level of heating the kli, that makes it be considered that you did legal. Now, in those days, I said this at Hesber to explain to you why nowadays if you do leave into a kli, you'll never see Mitzvah's Nitzin or Pashut Kibosei. We don't see anything like that. Our metals are already more purified and we don't see that. So we this shear until Mitzvah's Nitzin or Pashut Kibosei is not a shear that we see. It's not a thing that we ever experience when we do a kli. So Memela, what we do when we do Libun, we follow what there's a truest Maimni in the end of Hilchas Machos Asuras, who says that the shear of Libun is until Achetagin, until it turns red. This truest Maimni I was shown by Chaim Chernoff, who probably neither of you know, but he's a tremendous Talmid Chacham who worked for the OU. I don't know if he still does. First as an RC, and then later out of the office. And he showed me this truest Maimni that says that it has to turn red. And Rabbi Heineman explained that where does that shear come from? He says, don't you wonder where the word libun comes from? He says the word libun means lelabin, to turn white. He says it means like this: when you heat up the metal very hot, it gives off electromagnetic radiation. Okay, I don't know what that means, but whatever it means is when you get enough of it. The metal turns red, like you see, like in your toaster, it turns bright red. And when you go even further, it turns white. Okay, red hot is a certain level of heat, and white hot is the last level before it melts. Okay, so when you leave one means, you get it to turn white. So what the truest Maimni is saying is that you don't have to actually get it to be white. It doesn't have to be to the point that it gets to being white hot. Literally, it would be almost about to melt. It means that process, when it starts turning white hot, has to begin. The beginning of the process of turning white, this is what Rabbi Heineman said, the beginning of the process of turning white is that it turns red. First it turns, that process gets red and then it gets white. So once you've started that process, which is what we would call the process of becoming white hot, that process, that's already considered leaving. Okay? And with that, he also said that therefore the kli doesn't have to turn cherry red hot like you have in your toaster that is from bright red. It has to just begin to turn red. Because the way he was understanding it, the whole word, the why called red hot libun is because it's the beginning of turning white. So it's the beginning. The beginning means it doesn't have to be bright red. It has to just be the beginnings of being red. And there are professionals who will tell you that what you should do is when you do libun, you should turn the lights off in the room. Because this way, as soon as you see the beginning of turning red, you'll see you always have to get a little bit red. So in a closet, in a dark closet, you're going to see red quicker than if you do it in a bright room like this, then you wouldn't see this quicker. Okay, now, before we move on to Ramah, the Mechaber is describing the libun. It's in many, many of the Rishonim, and all the places, literally a handful of exceptions, almost everybody says that libun doesn't remove bleis. Hagolah removes bleis, it draws them out, but libun burns them away. Okay, it destroys them. It burns up the bleis that are in there. It's all over the place, that's what libun is, and it's different than Hagolah. For that reason, this is actually Din Bon Mechaber, but for that reason, you're allowed to do Libun on Chol Hamoed, on Chol Hamoed Pesach. You're not allowed to do Hagolah on Chol Hamoed Pesach. You're not allowed to do Hagolah from Chometz on Chol Hamoed Pesach, and the reason is because Chometz is B'mashu. So when you do Hagolah on the Chometz, the bleeds are going to come out into the water, and even though those bleeds are ended in Yerimori and they're bottled and all kinds of things, they're going to still trafe up the creek because Chometz is B'mashu. And even Chometz that's ended in Yerimori is also on Pesach. So on Chol Moed Pesach, you can't kasher from the chametz. You can kasher from milchus to parv, but you can't kasher from chametz to pesach, because how do you kasher regularly? You wait till it's end of the yamim. The bleas are now lefgam into the hagol water. So when the bleas come into the water, they don't trace the kli back up again. But here the bleas that come out that are end of the yamim into the water, they're not lefgam into the water. They're lefgam, but they ask for the water anyhow. They make that water chametz there. So then the water, the hagola water, makes the kli. That comes to you. No, no. Let's say the kli was treif, and it waits to be ended in yamim. And you bring out the bleas, take out the bleas into the water, so the kli is kosher,
right.
And the bleas in the water don't make the water treif, because the bleas are ended in yamim.
Right.
So then, now the water can't put bleas back into the kli, because who cares? It's already ended in yamim. The water is not treif. You can even theoretically drink that water. But our chametz, the water is not kosher b'di yamim. The water is treif. The water is chametz thing. Because chametz is the
matzah. Or you say that the mashu will be it. So the only thing if you say chanan.
Well, it depends. Chanan will depend if you have a lot of bleas or little bleas. But let's say the kli the water is 10 times as much as the kli. Okay, so you don't. The water is just treif. It's not the chanan. The water is just plain old treif. But it'd be much less.
Only treif because there's a mashu in there. But the mashu shabbat is also.
Or because the lufkamza, yes.
The mashu is not, right? It's also mashu, whatever, right? Okay, but okay. So the way I agree with you, you can't drink the water because you're drinking mashu.
Yes.
So the hechad teisi, that the water goes back in, also. It's
okay.
True.
So I
understand.
I didn't make this thing up. It's a machab. It's a machab with Ramon in Tufnum Beis. The first, I think it was in the first Tufnum Beis. They're not allowed to. Your question is maybe we should say trey mashu. I'm not. Okay, I'm going to leave that. I don't know. We'll get to Tufnum Beis. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But that dinner, you're not allowed to do Hagola on Moed Pesach. You're allowed to
it's
do. You're allowed to.
Sorry,
how you can do it?
If you the whole time, so the won't go back in.
No, we don't have like those Rishonim. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. If Roseach the whole time prevents bleas from going back in. I don't think we pass on that. Like, Roseach the whole time keeps the bleas from coming back in.
Is there a basic estimate between Hagolah and Levon, the one you can do Binyamo?
The next Nafkamina is that since you're burning it up, you could do it Binyamo because you're going to destroy it. As opposed to Hagolah, if you bring out those bleas, it's going to, I should have said that one first. If you're going to bring out the bleas, it's going to go right back in. With Libun, you're not taking the bleas out, you're destroying them.
Well, so you can do even Binyamo.
We're going to leave, Libun Kal is normal, yes. That's Machlokes. We're going to get to it in 1 minute. It's just regular. But you're allowed to do Chol Moed. Come on, everybody holds like this. Okay, fine. Now, within Libun, there's a following question. When you, the shear is Shatasha Kripasoi, the church is Nitzin, turning red high, those are the shear. Okay, are those numbers a specific constant temperature? We'll pick a number. 1400 degrees, is it a set amount of temperature? Or does it depend on the metal that you're dealing with? If you heat up, put 2 kelim into the oven, and they do a certain temperature, is that going to do it for everybody? Is it one flat-out temperature? Whatever it is, that's what Levon is? Or does it depend on what kind of metal you have? So you'll see, I give out the hand up afterwards, cannot distract you, but you look at in here, you'll see, well, the first thing is research on different metals when they turn red hot. They don't all turn red hot at the same temperature. Okay, that those temperatures are not the same, and presumably, well, I don't know, Pashut Klipasli and Nitzotz Nitzin probably will still have it at the same temperature. So is it a constant, is it a set amount, pick a number, 1200 degrees, or does it fluctuate depending on what kind of kli it is?
Is it temperature or is it time?
The shear, okay, well, you're right. So you're saying is it depends on the kli that you're dealing with. You think it's not a not a set temperature, it's not when you hit 1400 degrees. It depends. For each kli, until you get it to the right until it turns red hot. So that takes an amount of time and amount of temperature, and depending on how you play with it. But you're saying that it fluctuates from kli to kli. Depending on the kli that you have, for some kli it would be more, some would be less, depending on what you're dealing with. Okay?
So by the same token, some kli will melt at a lower temperature.
That's great. So all of those are riots that it's got to be a fluctuating. For example, aluminum and tin, they melt that, like in the 500 degrees area or something like that. Now, nothing's going to turn red hot at 500 degrees. Now, they will. But no regular kli will. So, if the shear really is, let's say, 1200 degrees, we'll pick a number. That's the shear, 1200 degrees. So, that means it's impossible to do Libun to tin? Because at 1200 degrees, it'll be pouring on the floor. It'll be completely liquid. It melted hundreds of degrees ago. So that all sounds like it's a shear that fluctuates. That depending on the kli, you have to depend on how thick it is and that, things like that.
As opposed to hagala, which is pretty standard.
Yes, hagala is a flat temperature. That's correct. There's a beis yosef that it's a flat temperature, never more than moishchem. Okay, there's a set amount you need moishchem. And also, the only question is, if we're going to say that libun burns away the bria, okay, then you would imagine that when you say burn away the bria, happens at a set amount. Let's say I say to you that paper burns. I've got the number. It was a famous number. Whatever. So paper burns at a certain temperature. So blias, you would think, also burn at a certain temperature, which we call libun. So you would think the logic on that side says is there should be a set amount. Pick a number, whatever that number is, and this is the set amount at which libun happens, because that's what it takes to. If we're trying to burn away the blias, you would think that's what it should take. It should take a fixed amount of temperature. Okay, so most people assume that it's a fluctuate, like you assume. You'll see in here also, Rabbi Shasta said, nah, it's a set amount, it's a flat amount.
You're talking about burning the blias.
Yeah, so burning the blias gives the impression that there should be a set temperature. Because if we're saying that the libun is going to burn
even
away a blias.
Burning the metal, even though Shiryadim is a different temperature, different things.
For the libun, the goal of libun is not to get the metal hot. That's not the point. The point is to get the blias that are inside to burn up.
Well, I mean, the metal or the metal pulses the blias.
So that's true, correct? So the way to look at it, that's correct. The answer to that is that, if you remember we talked about, they have to do hagala from the same side of the kli. The hagala water has to be on the side of the kli that the blia came in from, not where the fire was on. It has to be on the side that the blia came in from. So, like for a regen, it has to be on the side where the blia is. You can't be on the wrong side of the plate. So, we talked about that there's a shaila nachman and whether for libun you have to do the same thing. For libun on a piece of metal. Of course, for libun you have to, it's a gemara. But for libun on a piece of metal, do you have to do it from the same side or not? And the tzad, in other words, when you do hagala, and you have, in the heat exchanger, you have two sides of a plate, the water has to be on the same side that the treif was on. You can't put water on the other side. The shaila is, what happens if you're doing libun on a piece of metal? Do you have to have the fire coming from the same side as the metal, or could it be that the fire is from the other side also? And what's the Avnei say? Why should it be possible? You should be able to do it from the other side. Because when you do libun, he says you're turning the metal, it's not that the fire is doing the libun, the fire is turning the metal into its own piece of fire. But in your toaster, when you see that thing red hot, the whole thing is a piece of fire. So, I mean, that is like, I don't know if this is for real, but for Shabbos, you could be chayav for havar for doing that. You made a fire. So you're turning the metal into a piece of fire. So it doesn't make a difference if the flame is on the left side or the right side. The thing, the metal itself is the same, its own flame.
That would depend on what the metal is. What if you have a 1-inch thick piece of metal? If you have red hot on one side.
No, of course, it's going to have to be on all sides. Of course, when we think you can get red hot, it's going to be all the way through. So the way that the libun works is this way, to answer the question. The way the libun works is it turns the metal into as if it's on fire, and then it burns up anything that's too tight.
If it's red from the other side, what do you think with the flame?
So, no, you're saying that this is it. He says, you turn the whole thing red hot. He says, so if it's red hot, it is on fire.
Right.
So who cares if the flame is on fire?
Others
said not, the Prima Govim and the Torah said not. They said, the Gemara says that the fire has to be on the right, on the side where the blade came on.
Right.
The Gemara said, the Chavis, which doesn't turn red hot like that. But if you, they said, even for metal, you have to do it also. That's just a din. The fire has to be on the side where the blade went in from. So, and he argued that. Now, the Nazi said, what are you talking about? Is the thing itself is on fire. That's it. The whole thing is on fire. So, to answer, you say, how could it be that the shear fluctuates depending on the different metals? How could it be that, how does that make sense? I have to burn up the blia on the inside, and burning up should have a set amount. At X number of degrees, you burn up blias. To which the answer is, it's not that you need the 1400 degrees to burn up the blias. It's that the 1400 degrees turns the metal into a fire, so to speak, and then everything that's inside gets consumed. Okay, so the libun needs the temperature not to physically burn up the blias, but the libun needs the temperature to put the thing on fire so that then any blias that are inside will get burnt up. Okay, another question I'm saying that it fluctuates is what happens to kli cheres when you have a... When you have a kli cheres, to my understanding, kli cheres doesn't turn red hot. The Gemara talks about libun for kli cheres. So if you say it's a set temperature, then we can understand it. we can understand that there's a set temperature, whatever the temperature is, that for metal will be partially possible. So for cheres, so at that temperature also, how do you make metal turn, that cheres turn red hot? I don't think that there's such a thing. That again, implies that there's a fixed temperature. And again, Rabbi Shechter thought that it was a fixed temperature, that there's one temperature. We said to him, how are you going to kasher, a piece of tin? He says, don't know. He gave up. So, the question is, there are some metals like tin and aluminum, they melt at like 500-600 degrees. So if you do the temperature that's considered Lieblen for most metals, that means if you say there's a fixed amount, and it must be, let's say, 1200 degrees, then for other metals, you're making it impossible to do Lieblen. They'll be liquid by the time you get there. They can't withstand that temperature.
But red hot, it does withstand. Red hot.
Yeah, but they turn red hot at a temperature that your oven is nothing. It's not hot at all. So I'm saying that's the shaila. Should we say that it's a fixed temperature? And most assume that it's not an official temperature we can pick a number for. It's not like Hagola. It's not a fixed temperature. It fluctuates depending on the metal, like that. One simple case. There's three cases we're talking about. One is a self-cleaning oven. Okay, we will see, this is not for this week, we'll see in Mitzvah Shem and Halacha Vav and maybe in Halacha Chaf Gimbal that the assumption is that a regular home oven does not need Lieblen Gomer. You can kasher with Lieblen Kahl or with Lieblen Kahl you can kasher.
Even from
Trevis? Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to it when we get to those halachas. But there are those who feel that you should do Lieblen Gomer to it. Okay, and your reason here, Radovsky wrote up directions how you should do it. Okay, but even with, he's got a fancy case for a home oven, but it's really been tough. I think some tough summer house. What happens if you have a pizza oven? Can you put the pizza right on the oven floor? So you need to do leave into it. What happens if you have a barbecue and you want to kasher it? I have a neighbor who every Father's Day did a parlor meeting for tzedakah, but they, I guess, didn't want to do a traditional parlor meeting. So their parlor meeting was a barbecue in the street. Okay, it was a block party. Okay, they used to do barbecue. I'm not kidding. And there was no person there who knew a thing about the tzedakah they were coming for. But the place was packed because they had this big barbecue for the kids every Father's Day, and people gave money because they couldn't care less what the tzedakah was. Literally, no one got up and spoke about the tzedakah. Literally, they just had a big barbecue. What do you say?
We could collect again.
So this neighbor used to rent a barbecue and used to kasher it. Okay, they used to kasher the barbecue and then this huge barbecue to make the food on. Okay, so what's the din is, how do you kasher a thing like that easily? But it says you fill up the whole thing with coals, the whole floor with coals, and you light them up, which is fine. There's only one odd thing, which Rabbi Elsker or Shasta could not answer, which was, it doesn't say how long you're supposed to do it for. It just says fill it up with coals and light them up. And it doesn't say, no one says, well, how long do you do this for? As if it's like sort of understood. I don't know what's understood. What are you supposed to do? So they said do it for an hour. Light it up and let it burn for now. Because it doesn't say a shiur, like how long you're supposed to do it for. And it doesn't say that you have to look for the shiur like we saw here, Tashu Kipasso, and those, it doesn't say those. It just fill the whole thing up with coals and light it up. As if that'll for sure do Lieblen, but it doesn't say what it is. Which is what we used to do. So in the morning of Father's Day, I would go out to make sure it was kosher because my kids wanted to eat at the barbecue. And then they would have, they would do this. Okay, that's a more traditional case of how you kasher. Rabbi Belsky has his own same idea, basically, you'll see, for kashering your home oven if you want to leave and come. Okay. But now there's another thing. Self-cleaning oven. There are other people who said, if you want to kasher, if you want to do leave-in on your oven, because they hold you need leave-in, you self-clean will be leave-in. So I said to Rabbi Belsky, what are you talking about? Self-cleaning goes to the Erech 900 to 1,000 degrees, depending on the company, and it obviously does not turn it red hot. Okay, the company wouldn't let your metal turn red hot. You know, at red hot, things are very close to getting ruined. They don't let it turn red hot. Those metals don't turn red hot till 1,300, 1,400 degrees. So why do people think